Kelman on cliffcentral.com.
All right, we're going to touch base now with photographer Jonathan Wood. I mean, Jonathan, I could go through the bio. I could tell everyone like your story and everything like that. I could do some sort of introduction, but it probably wouldn't be good.
You know, you could try.
I could try, but I don't think I'd do a good job. I don't know if you would do a good job at introducing yourself. I think Bay would do a good job at introducing you. Bay on the couch. Do you think that we could get Bay on the couch to do the introduction?
Look, she's shaking her head.
She's shaking her head.
Actually, that actually looks like she wants to now.
The mic is there. It's on. I've seen the two of you sitting on this couch the whole afternoon here. You got here super early. What's Bay's name?
Kiara.
Kiara, you don't want to introduce Mr. over here? Okay, if I'm doing a really bad job though, will you give me a thumbs down? Okay, just give me a thumbs up to the thumbs down thing. Okay, cool. All right. We'll get to maybe some stuff out of her in a little bit. That mic is on whenever you want to use it. So if he speaks any nonsense here, you're more than welcome to interject. She's nodding her head. Okay. You are this photographer extraordinaire. It's this amazing story because basically, if I'm getting this right here, you decided to get into a kayak, paddle down the Orange River. You picked up your mom's camera and you sort of haven't looked back ever since.
Yeah, that's pretty much been the story. It was just a great adventure that a friend and I decided to go on. And I think it became the basis towards the life that I wanted to live. You know, I wanted to be interested in the life I lived. I wanted every day to be an adventure. And so I think it makes a lot of sense that the two things started together like that.
When was that? What year was that you followed the river for 2,200 kilometers? 3 months you lived and traveled on the river.
That was 2007.
Now, pre that, were there any sort of interactions or moments that you'd had with the camera that would have implied that it was going to become such a big part of your story?
No, nothing. I mean, back then we didn't have Instagram. Our cell phones didn't have cameras. I mean, we used to just play Snake.
It was like those disposable ones. That was as close as you were going to get.
Yeah.
Or you would buy the actual film and...
Exactly, exactly.
It was a bit elitist photography.
I think so. I don't know if it's changed nowadays. But
you're the photographer. Yeah. You'll tell me in a second if you call out everyone on Instagram. Okay, so 2007, you have this interaction, and then sort of how does the journey unfold from there?
From there, I basically just decide to keep a camera in my hand, to follow a life where I have a camera and try and marry the two things together, you know. The lifestyle where I'm kind of traveling, moving, learning, experiencing things, being in places I wouldn't have really had any other reason to be in.
And then in terms of like picking up the skill of it, I mean, you know, the way to light something or the different aspects of a camera. I mean, there's got to be quite a bit of time that you invest in that. You know, some people, I could look at a DSLR right now and I can barely figure out how to turn the thing on. There's so many different things you can do with it.
Yeah, it's true. But I mean, there's a lot of different aspects to a camera. You know, people, I think a lot of the time, and I did it myself for a while, you just get so lost in the technicalities of it, you know, and it's boring like that. I mean... Shit, you can light a flower and put it on a wall, you know what I mean? It's nice. But like, if you're going to take photos, you've got to feel them, and you've got to experience. It's got to be an experience, you know?
Yeah, and it's about reflecting something very personal. And I'm glad you brought up that you can get sort of bogged down in the technicalities, because that can happen across all creative mediums. If you're a music producer, you can start putting in beats where there shouldn't be beats, and it's better to just keep it simple. If you're a film producer, you can go and complicate the shit out of a scene, and before you know it, you don't even know what's happening in the scene.
Yeah, sure.
So like figuring out how to strike that balance between the technical aspect and just the... you know, telling the story aspect, how does one figure that flow out a little better?
I think for me, I've got quite a big history in commercial photography as well. And that you have to be very technically sound all
the time.
That's
like photographing product, right?
Like advertising campaigns and stuff like that. And you've got to be really technically sound in that, which is a good thing to learn how to be sound like that, you know? But on the other hand, If you're not gonna go out there and play and experiment and like, you know, mess it up every now and then and make it look bad and learn from those experiences, you're never really gonna be finding that balance between technicality and like, you know, real content.
Mm.
Yeah.
So here's a question: when you look back on your stuff, or say you've just finished a shoot, or you've got the final product of something, and it's something that you wanted to do, it wasn't something that you did for money. When you start to look through that stuff, do you learn things about yourself and what you're interested in?
Yeah, you do. You do. Because when you're photographing, I mean, you're obviously in that mindset now, you know, you're trying to capture moments and compositions and whatever. But a lot of the time you look back and it's almost like you can look back into your memories. You can look, not your memories, but you can look back into those moments and see exactly where your mind was, exactly what you were focusing on, exactly what you were finding interesting at that time. And yeah, you learn a lot about yourself by doing that, because I suppose you're like kind of exploring your subconscious to a degree.
But this is the thing that's unbelievable about photography. I mean, the two of us sitting in a room right now, I could decide that corner over there with the bookcase and the Furby thing on it would be the most interesting thing to photograph. You in this room may think that it's the light or the tree or whatever it is that there's. What would be the most interesting
thing? I like the Furby too.
You like the Furby too. Okay, cool. But, you know, in walking down a street, there's something that would resonate with you that would never resonate with somebody else.
Yeah.
And like figuring that out and making sense of that, where do you sit with that?
I think every artist or every photographer, let's talk about photographers, would view that differently, would find something different in it, you know. I think a lot of the time you actually start getting caught in your own messages that you're trying to spread, you know, your own messages that you're interested in, and that's what captures your eye. That's what draws you towards your subject that you're going to shoot.
At what point do you think someone can call themselves a photographer?
Any point, man. Just pick up a camera and shoot.
That's it. So you don't mind people on Instagram that are like...
No ways. I think it's cool, man. People must shoot. Yeah. People must take pictures. It's. I don't think the world has ever been as documented as what it is right now with the way we're living. It's crazy, man. If aliens came down and the whole world was destroyed and they found one phone, they'd have a lot more information than we find in the ruins in Rome, yeah?
How do you go about documenting your own life? Do you take lots of photos that you're in, or is it...
No, yeah, I'm not really in any of my own photos. I've got like a weird thing with putting my own life out on social media or whatever. I don't know. You get tagged in pictures. Mostly they're the ones you don't want your mom to see. But
Your photos take on a different meaning, though, when they start to become sort of messages about what's happening in the world. And you've got a lot of work that speaks to different things that are happening in society right now. Take us through some of the stuff that you're working on at the moment.
So what I've really been working on a lot at the moment was it sort of started as a project on dark buildings in Johannesburg CBD. And it very quickly became a story to me about the plight of Zimbabwean illegal immigrants in Johannesburg. And then after investigating this world, you know, you see a lot of things in that world. You see people living in very disparate situations. So you see people turning towards prostitution or crime or drug dealing or maybe even drug using, you know. But then at the same time, you still see people that become recyclers, for instance. You know, they've taken a choice to like labor under the sun all day and drag these things behind them to stay on a straight and narrow path. But they're also not really succeeding anymore, you know, any more than the guy who's chosen, you know, crime. And what I actually realized out of it is as South Africans in particular, we actually create a lot of our own problems in this country. It's very easy for South African businesses to take advantage of illegal workforces from Zimbabwe, you know, underpay them or maybe not respect their rights in the workplace. And then, you know, you're creating these cycles which are inevitably going to come around to you, come straight back to you. And I think that's, at the moment, that's what I'm kind of looking at. I'm kind of looking at these cycles that we're creating, you know, these like butterfly effects that we all play a part in, whether we believe it or not or want to or don't want to, you know.
And then I guess using the photos to express that and sort of share that story and get more people to understand it.
Yeah, I suppose so. But that becomes a difficult part now, because you get these really complex ideas that start to develop in your head from experiencing and seeing so much. And now you've got to figure out a way to visualize it for a person so they can stand and look at an image and actually, you know, make sense of what you're trying to tell them.
What's your take on life? What is the point of all of this?
What's the point of life? I don't know if there is a point in life. I think it's just a great ride, man. Just hang on and enjoy it. And like, don't do what other people want you to do. You know, do what you want to do. You've got this one life. I think the point of life would probably for me be to use it to your full extent.
Have you always held that belief, or did you have to like sort of go through trial and error on figuring it out?
Yeah, I would say a lot of it was trial and error. Pretty much couldn't conform to any sort of authority. And it's, you know, when I was younger and I didn't know what to do with myself, I knew what I didn't want more than what I wanted, you know. I understood that I didn't want to be in a space where someone else would be dictating to me that, you know, what my hours were every day, when I'd get to go on holiday, when I'd get to retire, what I was allowed to think about, what I was not allowed to think about, what I could say, what I couldn't say. And I think that all kind of just progressed into a freelance art lifestyle.
Which you enjoy living. I mean, it seems like you get a lot of enjoyment out of this. It stimulates you, though, as well, in terms of thinking about the world in a way that some people would probably find a little overwhelming. Because when you start thinking about this and that and the next thing, it's like you won't get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah. I've had those mornings. I've had them as well. But it's the truth. You know, you can learn, you can live quite internally in your own mind when you live this way. But that can become dangerous. And you can also become a person who talks about it too much, you know what I mean? And the one thing you'd realize is people, they don't want to sit around a dinner table and talk about this. You know, like there'll be times when it'll come up.
Mm.
And you'll discuss it and it's interesting, but then you have to learn to let the conversation kind of progress to another place. The things I see and the things that I live with and the lessons that I've learned, they're very, very important lessons, but not everyone gets the opportunity to learn them or experience them or see the things that I see, which is where I think my role comes in as a photographer. You know, someone can sit in the morning in their life that they've chosen and they can, I don't know, maybe open a newspaper or a magazine where these images are in there and the article is explained. And you've created a sense of awareness to a person that didn't need to go and explore Hijack Building, for instance. Mm-hmm. All they needed to do was open that magazine at breakfast.
Speaking of buildings, tell me about the building you live in.
I'm living in Ponte City in Berea.
You've been there for about 2 years, right?
I think three. I don't know. I've lost track of time there.
I mean, I think that that's cool. You must get people, though, that think that that's interesting. Why do you think they think that's interesting? Is it interesting? What's the deal with it?
It is interesting. I mean, especially when I first moved in there, one of the reasons I moved in there was one of my best friends was living there. He needed a housemate. And it was just full with really interesting people. There were artists, there were journalists, you know, there was entrepreneurs, all kinds of people when I moved in. And we all kind of just bounced off of one another and fed off of each other's energy. And we were eating dinner together all the time. And there was breakfasts and then parties and, you know, waking up in the same building all the time. And it was really interesting. And since then, that group has kind of moved on. And I've found another reason to live and love and stay in that place. And it's I'm completely inspired by everything around me all the time. I feel like I'm completely engaged with South Africa as it really is.
What do you think this country looks like? I mean, we were speaking about it at the top of the show. South Africa is trending on Twitter today, and people are just weighing in on things that they don't like about South Africa.
Is that why we're trending?
Yeah. It was literally tweets about what's the state of the country, people are just disappointed and they kind of fed up and they do this whole social media activism thing, which actually doesn't do anything. but your South Africa through your eyes, what does it look like?
South Africa, through my eyes, I mean, obviously, it's a very, like culturally diverse space that we're living in, right? We've got a lot of problems here. We've got a lot of issues in South Africa, but we're also a very resilient nation, incredibly resilient nation. And I think South Africa's always kind of had a trend of being on a bit of a knife's edge, you know, since I was born in 87, and back then, things were probably even more on a knife's edge than what they are now, you know? I think we've got our problems, but we're an incredibly resilient nation.
Listen, dude, it's very cool speaking to you. You seem very connected to what you're about and what it is that you want to do in the world and the change that you want to make. I'm going to let you wrap this interview up with whatever it is that you feel is left to say.
Oh. Putting me on the spot here, right? I don't know. Don't vote for Donald Trump if you're in America and you're listening to this.
Don't do that. That's terrible. You know, South Africa, we got our problems, but that is scary,
it's
man.
It's a serious problem.
That is very serious. That's like your nation has been so brainwashed by, you know, celebrity status that now you actually want to vote one of them in to be the president.
Yeah, if he wins, it means pop culture rules the world, which is a serious problem. Listen, it's been so cool having you stop by. You're not on social media, so how do we connect with your work, though? There's got to be a place.
I'm on Instagram. Cool. That's where I seem to be keeping things up to date. My website's not too up to date at the moment. But on Instagram, you can get me at Jono Wood and Josie. And yeah, follow my stuff up there.
Fantastic that there is a photographer, Jonathan Wood. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Sure, it's a pleasure. Kelman on cliffcentral.com.